America is in the midst of severe demonic attack. How's that for an opening statement? I hope I have your attention now. What we see being played out in our government, among our politicians and their handlers, indeed, in all of American cultural life, is the result of a carefully orchestrated full frontal assault on the freedom and liberty of all Americans. Many people have become nothing more than mindless zombie stooges for the demonic forces at work today. Propping up evil has become the full-time business of the vast majority of media entities. Thankfully, there are a few brave people who refuse to bow the knee to the Luciferians among us. Melissa, aka the Honeybee, is one such person. Stay tuned for our conversation next on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to us on Global Star Radio Network, gsradio.net. That's Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen to Soaring Eagle Radio on Talk America Radio. That's talkamericaradio.us. Sundays at 7 a.m. and Saturdays at 4 p.m. We're on the Prepper Broadcasting Network. That's prepperbroadcasting.com. And we're on twice on Mondays, and you can check the website for times. We're on Fringe Radio Network, and of course, you can listen to every episode on our flagship website, soaringeagleradio.com. My guest today is Melissa Zachariah, and she is an independent investigator who is at the forefront of exposing the pedophilia industry and child trafficking in all of its grisly forms. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Melissa.
Thank you, Mike, so much for having me, and welcome to everybody else that's tuning in. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. Melissa, we tried to work this out earlier, and it just didn't happen, but now we're getting a chance to sit down and chat, so I'm really blessed that you were able to work this into your schedule. I know that you're awful busy doing a lot with our friends over at the Hagman Report, so I want to give a shout-out to Doug and Joe and John and the rest of the crew over there. They've done a great job of coming alongside people such as yourself and really raising awareness, haven't they?
Oh, I adore that whole team. They are warriors in this fight against corruption, and they really, really care about kids. Yes. And I just love what they're doing over there. And, you know, let's pray for them that they can keep this momentum and keep doing what they're doing. I love it. I love them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You and a whole bunch of other folks, that's for sure. Well, Melissa, probably the first question that is on the minds of our listeners is this: how in the world did you ever get involved in investigating such an evil, dark area such as child trafficking and pedophilia?
Well, basically, God told me that that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's what I'm doing. But to start back a little bit on the hows and whys, I guess, I've always been an independent, you know, researcher. I did a lot of surfing on the internet and YouTube, especially YouTube, since it started getting going about 7-8 years ago. I was on there watching videos, and the stuff that I was watching was really related to the paranormal, spiritual, good versus evil kind of stuff. So I was very much interested in that. I mean, I've been listening to like Steve Quayle and Timothy Alberino and, you know, all of these people that, you know, I kind of feel like a lot of the people, even like the Hagmans that I've been watching for 7 years, I can talk to them now, you know, and share in these investigative endeavors. But as for where it went, the last couple of years, I had started really looking into demonology and really looking into what is evil, where it comes from, why, you know, what can we do to fight evil? And I became kind of obsessed with that. It kind of went into different waves. I was, you know, researching the demonic programming through the music industry, through television, and finally into children's programming. And there's many layers of this demonic attack that you very well put in the beginning in your introduction. There is a spiritual attack on good and on the light in this world, and it's very plain to see, in my view, once you drop the veil or take the blinders off and just take a look for yourself. It's all about doing your own research. So once I started looking at cases like the Boys Town Franklin cover up in Nebraska. Yeah. I was looking at the Hosanna Church case in Louisiana. Cases where children are being sexually abused and tortured in the name of evil. And there were other cases too, which, you know, may or may not be completely out there in the media that I look at, you know, smaller cases where it's just evident that there is a network of this evil going on within our government. So yes. When Pizzagate broke out in November of last year, I was already I had my finger on the pulse of what was going on, with recent news stories and things. And I was always interested in WikiLeaks and keeping my ear out for them. But when Pizzagate broke, it kind of changed everything for everybody, I think. I didn't really go headstrong into being a Pizzagate researcher. That isn't really what I did when I started creating content. Yeah. I started actually finding material and staying around the peripheral so that people that weren't able to wrap their heads around the Pizzagate situation, mm-hmm. that they could see that it was happening in their towns around the country with people that were in power. So I started investigating the DC area, specifically politicians and military personnel that were convicted of child sex crimes and abuse and child pornography. And what I was finding was that there was an actual like pedophile ring around, you know, the White House and the State Department. And it was really coming to fruition, looking into these people and following like, where are they now that they were, you know, they got fired from being, you know, the state rep for this, or, you know, the person that's in charge of this financial part of the government. I started finding that they were actually working again for the government, but in a private capacity. So this was very unnerving to me, that people that were actually being convicted of these heinous crimes were still working in some capacity for the government. And it just really, it enraged me to a point where I almost became obsessed with showing people the truth of the matter here with real documentation. And that's where I kind of became like this sleuth character, where, you know, I stop at nothing to get information to people that it's just undeniable information. There's no way around the documents, the testimonies, the phone calls, the emails. That's how I do things. It seemed to be very, people received it very well. I mean, that's what they wanted. I don't think my channel grew so fast because I was throwing out clickbait or trying to mislead anybody. It's because I was providing very serious documentation that you can't really deny. So that's kind of where all this started. And, I'm very blessed to have this. God pushed me in this direction because he wanted me to see that I could put on the armor and that I could be a part of the solution. And I hope everybody else can find in themselves to do that as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a great introduction to how you got started, Melissa. And I appreciate the fact that that you mentioned more than once that this is an assignment that God gave you. And where God guides, God provides. And if he gives you an assignment, he's going to provide the necessary resources, the necessary enabling, and the necessary gifts and talents to fulfill that calling. So I appreciate you sharing that. A statement that you made that I want to pick up on and take this a little far is this. You mentioned that a lot of folks just simply can't wrap their minds around the fact that America, and even in our government, we are overrun with pedophiles. People have a hard time accepting the fact that there's a network, and child sex trafficking is a real and heinous evil that goes on all over America. It's in every state. There are folks that are involved in this. And I know that you've run into that. People criticize you and say you're just inventing things and making things up. Mm-hmm. And how do you push through all of that when the critics come, or the defenders? I know that there are people that defend this behavior, mm-hmm. and they're becoming increasingly vocal about that too, aren't they?
They are. So let's talk about the defenders first, because I think that kind of trumps anybody that is having a hard time understanding, because I know it's hard to look at evil in the face. I mean, it's not easy because you have to look at yourself, yeah. you know, and you have to have accountability. So what we'll get into that conversation after I discuss this actual pedophile advocacy, because I think that is the most dangerous thing that's going on in our country right now, is that there are actual groups of people that have organized. Some have, 501c3s where they, can write off taxes and things like that. This is not, some trolls online that are just like trying to promote their own personal lifestyle. These are active groups that attack people like me and others mm-hmm. for exposing the dangers of pedophilia and the dangers of the normalization of child rape. Because yes. that's, in my opinion, which for me it's more fact, forcing or not forcing, regardless, sex with a child. Is rape.
Yes.
The child can't consent.
Right.
They can't. I mean, think about it. Think about mm-hmm. what a kid deals with mentally on a daily basis. Like, do I run across the street and catch that ball that just flew into the, oncoming traffic? Do I touch that hot surface on the stove? Can I color in the lines? That's the kind of stuff that kids should be gifted of, those should be their daily issues. whether yeah. or not to consent to a consensual sexual relationship with an older male or female, it's just preposterous.
It is.
And anybody that tries to pull any kind of scientific or psychological card on that is just sorely mistaken. They are coming from the Kinsey
yes.
report, which was obviously a huge scientific failure in the mm-hmm. sense of how could science actually let that sort of thing happen unchecked and never dealt with. I mean, it's sick. It's sick that they experimented on children and pedophiles together under the guise of science. And, you know, that's what these pedophile advocacy groups are using as their, you know, their banner.
Yeah.
A lot of it is also, you know, they try to insert themselves into the LGBT.
Yes.
They try to insert themselves into the Black Lives Matter and Islam tolerance. It's, you know, they just like they do with the kids, they're lying to the children and telling them this is about love.
Yeah.
This is about you being a grown up when you want to be. You have the right to make your own decisions. I mean, let's talk about like NAMBLA and the beginnings of NAMBLA and how they were involved in the communist parties. I mean, this is something that, you know, it's about control.
Yes.
It's about control and access to children. And, you know, that is something we all should be really, really focusing on. There are a few groups I'm going to mention that are a little more popular. I'm not going to go into every single group that I look at, but please take a look at groups like Heart Progress, the Center for Sexual Justice, NARSAL, NAMBLA, even Before You Act, is a little, it pushes my buttons a little bit. It's a safe haven for pedophiles to come and speak freely about their situations, but there's a dark side of them as well. So,
yeah.
You know, I really urge people to start looking into the evidence on their own so they can see that there is a normalization of pedophilia. And it goes even higher because you have your government officials being arrested all of the time. And this is, you know, something that the MSM is just terrified to cover.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look, if you Google it, if you DuckDuckGo it, if you just make the effort to find it, I'm telling you, your mind will be blown. And you'll understand why there is a normalization process going on with the sexualization of children. They don't want to get in trouble anymore. They want the access to children to be easier. And I believe it goes far beyond sexual gratification. I think there is a sinister, satanic ritual abuse that goes on.
Yes.
I feel that there is organ harvesting and blood transfusions. I mean, you can go look up Stanford University. They have just come out in the last year of how excited they are about young blood. That is the name of their science project, folks. Young blood.
That's amazing.
Where they transfuse children's blood into Alzheimer's patients and other patients with brain degenerative diseases to cure them or make them better. This is an actual thing. So you have to know that there's always going to be the dark side of these things in the name of science. And like I said, with the Kinsey report, you have to look at all sides of this. And there's always going to be a black market for things like this.
Yes. Well, one of the things that I appreciate about you, Melissa, and your approach is the strategies that you employ to expose the pedophiles out there and the pedophilic organizations that defend and are there for them. And what I'm talking about specifically is that you use social media as a tool, as a weapon, as a platform to publicly expose these people who have social media profiles. Now, one thing that I've learned just from following you on Twitter and some of the things that you're investigating is a lot of these folks, they don't come right out and tell you in plain English, but they do use code words in their profile description, and it's pretty clear what it is that they're advocating for or even advertising for, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, every day that I do this investigative work with my team, I have a team now, we're working on a documentary. It's amazing, the kinds of codes that they're using now. We even just discovered today, someone on Reddit had discovered this. There is, a trend on the YouTube videos where, you know, those Elsa Gate videos where they have children doing weird things and you have Elsa and Superman in very sexual positions. And then there's drug injections and child pregnancy, just very disturbing stuff.
Yeah.
It's called ElsaGate. If you just Google or go to YouTube and look up ElsaGate, you'll see what I'm talking about. But there's these Disney videos that are being produced by different families and couples around the world that are just pumping out thousands of videos a month and making millions of dollars on these programming videos to desensitize children to abuse and torture under the face of Disney characters. It's insane. So what we were finding on these videos was that a lot of the commenters were saying like gibberish, like the words didn't make any sense and it was hard to understand what was going on. So one of the Reddit users finally cracked the code and was able to translate some of these words using a Thai word emulator. And what they're finding is that this is buying and selling of kids.
Wow.
They have these videos up on YouTube and they're kind of like light or whatever. They're not light if you really look at them, but from a parent's view from across the room, not worrying about it, yeah, it just looks like Disney characters. But what's happening is that they're selling children. And also children are getting caught up into that net where they're watching these videos and then they become victims, because you know full well that, you know, social media is probably the worst place for kids to be unattended.
Yeah.
Young sure. kids, because I know kids that are 4 or 5 years old that know how to use the phone better than I do, you know, and if you can get a child on the internet at some point and kind of groom them, because that's their major tactic is grooming them. You can get them to send pictures of themselves or give away their address or give away personal information. So you could either blackmail them into abuse or kidnap them. So we discovered this code. We're really working on it a lot today. I mean, there's just a whole world of information on the dark web. There's a lot of food codes, you know, terms like watermelon and obviously pizza. I mean, pizza has been around. Cheese pizza has been a term used on the dark web for 10, 15 years. It's not something that was just discovered when the Comet Ping Pong emails were coming to light. This is like lingo. And there's been many arrests of people that use that cheese pizza, hot dog, pasta. There's even cakes. Cupcakes. We found King, Baby King. These are things, folks, that if you just put into any archive, if you go to archive.is or the Wayback Machine, you can find these things. I mean, it's not crazy. It's not a conspiracy. This is actual child exploitation in action every single day. And even 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think actually it was even a little longer than that, maybe a month ago in New Jersey, I talked about it on the Hagman Report. There was a corrections officer in New Jersey who was putting Craigslist ads out looking for moms and you know, women that have children that are into cheese pizza. And he was arrested for distributing and creating child pornography.
Wow.
So this isn't like a crazy thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, getting back into people are having a hard time wrapping their heads around this.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mike, I really do pray that someday people will feel comfortable looking at the truth.
Yeah.
And embracing it. But I think a lot of that has to do with taking responsibility for your own growth and looking at it.
Yeah.
And I feel bad that people put their head in the sand.
Yeah. And that's not what Christians are supposed to do. They are supposed to hate evil. They're supposed to hate evil with a holy hatred just as much as God does. Now, I think it's appropriate, Melissa, at this point in our conversation, and this is for our listeners' sake, let me just say this as clearly as possible, and then I want you to comment as to why. Don't go out on the internet and start searching for child pornography or sex trafficking sites thinking you're going to be some kind of super sleuth or, you know, you're going to expose all these people that are involved, because what you're going to do is you're going to create a history on your own computer that these sites are showing up on. So my point is this: be very, very careful about what you're doing and make sure that you're approaching this strategically. And so my question for you, Melissa, is what caveats would you tell people if they want to get in the fight and start exposing this? What would you tell them?
Sure. I would definitely find a network that you're comfortable on, whether it's Twitter or Gab or Minds or Steemit, YouTube, whatever you're comfortable in. There's such a wealth of information, and there's such a great network of people that are really trying to expose this stuff. So it would be very easy for you to find, a channel or a journalist or somebody that is providing information, like myself. I mean, if you are just starting out, just follow me on Twitter and see the kind of stuff I'm putting out there. And then you can take that information and you can vet it for yourself. I don't put out child pornography on Twitter. I don't go to child porn websites. I have stumbled across some serious and brutal child pornography without looking for it. That was also something that motivated me greatly to get involved in this because, you know, some of us have children that are on the internet. And if it's that easy for me to stumble across something like that on a video sharing platform, mm-hmm. Many children are able to see that. And that is just, it just blows my mind. Yeah. So I would find a network or someone that you trust. Start following what they're doing and share the good news, share the information. That is the first step. Once you get comfortable, make a video, make a YouTube channel, mm-hmm. join BitChute, make a BitChute channel, mm-hmm. And start talking about it. Talk to your friends, talk to your family. You know, I often think about this, you know, he wasn't really accepted by his family or his right. friends. The closest people to him thought he was nuts. Yep. And that unfortunately is sometimes the truth. I mean, I'm very lucky. My family is supportive. But they're not out there, creating videos and tweeting all my stuff out on YouTube. Right. And I understand that, right. you know, and we still have to love and appreciate that our families have their hearts, you know, in what we're doing. But I would definitely recommend, you know, I used to be in business. Out of every 100 pitches, 10% are gonna bite. So if you can reach 100 people, 10% of those people are going to get the message, and then they're going to share it with their friends and family. And it's just like a wave of goodness when you can get involved in that way. Like I said, for me, I'm a little higher level here. I talk to hackers. I probably do things that might not be something I would suggest you folks to be doing. I take a lot of risks, and I do that because I'm fearless in the face of this. And I think God propels me, to do that in that way. I wake up every morning, Mike, and this is what I think about every day, until I go to sleep at night. It's what I talk about. I talk to people all day long about this, cause it's that important to me. And it's that important to a lot of people. And hopefully that energy will just carry on and people will start to wake up from the haze. Because I'm telling you, there's brainwashing that has been going on for a very long time, where people live in this la-la land of lies. And, you know, when you are able to smash a paradigm and bring somebody out, it's a beautiful moment, and I've seen it happen a number of times, and that's what you got to live for, is waking up the people that you want on your team,
you
know?
Yeah. Amen. So when folks stumble across sites, or they find one that needs to be exposed, whether it's individual, organization, whatever the case might be, what should they do with that information besides plastering it all over their social media? Is there anything else they can do?
Yeah, that this is going to be a great conversation here, because I think that responsible sleuthing is of the utmost importance to keep yourself out of jail.
Yes.
You don't want to be incriminated because you had downloaded an image that you found And then the police come over to your place and, you know, I'm just investigating this. And, you know, they put you in jail for having child pornography on your computer. They don't care what your excuse is. The law is that it's not supposed to be on your computer. And that's just that. So please, if you do happen across something like that, the first thing you want to do is call your local police department and then call the FBI. And then you can call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And the reason I say that is because they don't report to each other unless they have to. So if you decide to contact the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children first, they don't necessarily report anything to anybody. It sits in a data bank. And if law enforcement or government want information, they go to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and request information. So that should never be your first line of action. Call the police.
Yes.
Always call the police. I live in New Hampshire, and the Plastow police know who I am. I call all the time whenever I find something or I find pedophile activity, grooming. I call them first because I want my city and the people in my community to know what I'm doing. So if I do end up, something gets on my computer that doesn't quite look right, they know already what I'm doing, and it's not going to be some like random case of me having a link or something saved on my computer. Always refrain from copying links and saving them on your computer. Always refrain from downloading images. It's best to just keep whatever it is up on your computer and literally be on the phone with the police at that moment. So you can tell them what you're looking at, how you got there, and why. And then that's it. They'll take your name. They'll take your phone number. You can call anonymously. That's totally fine. I've done it before. But you got to call all three. You really do, because they check on each other. Mm-hmm. They check on each other, especially the FBI. They will check back with the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children to make sure that they got the phone call as well. That would be my best advice. I would say try to stay away from looking for it. It's out there. I don't think you need to see it. But if you really need to see it, there are a number of documentaries out there that highlight and show a little bit of evidence for you to see. Once you see child pornography, though, it changes you for the rest of your life. And you don't see kids normal anymore. Like when I look at a child, I feel fear for them.
Yes.
Like something, you know, could go wrong. And one of these people that I see every day, I see these monsters every day. I talk to them. I fight them on the internet. So when I see kids, you know, and I talk to Stephen Mankin about this, you pray on them.
Yes.
You pray on them and cover them with the light of Jesus Christ protecting them. So, you know, evil can stay away because it's absolutely out there. And we all can fight it in our own way. I hope that nobody goes out there and starts looking for CP because it could really get you in a lot of trouble and it doesn't help the cause at all.
Yes, that's right. Good. Great advice, Lisa. Great advice for folks. She is encouraging you to get in the game, folks. She is telling you to do what you can do. We're all commanded to confront evil, to stand firm against it. That's Ephesians chapter 6. We're all to do that as believers and not to be fearful of this. It is ugly. It is evil. And it tears your heart out. But somebody's got to stand against it. And in the last year or so, we've really seen an uptick in exposure, in this becoming part of our national conversation. And I'm encouraged by that. I know that you have to be too, that it's finally, even if it's still mostly in the so-called quote-unquote alternative media, it's still getting the airtime and the press time. Conversations like we're having today will reach a lot of folks and will bring a new level of understanding and awareness about the seriousness of this issue. And so, folks, I encourage you to get in the fight, get in the game, and put an end to child trafficking. How wonderful would that be if we could see that occur? Well, let's talk about, Melissa, there's been some chatter about some indictments coming down. I don't remember the exact number. It seemed like it was around 1,000 or something. Is that pretty close?
Yeah, last time I checked, it was 1,183 indictments nationwide.
Wow, there you go. She knows the exact number, folks. 1,183. Well, I'm wondering when they're actually going to be opened and we're going to start seeing some arrests. Do you have any sense of when that might occur?
Well, let's talk about this for people that don't understand what's going on here. So over the last, I'd say 2 weeks, we have seen a small group of sealed indictments, which are indictments that are put forth by a district attorney with evidence and a grand jury is involved. This isn't a civil case or anything like that. This is a major case with evidence. And the reason it's sealed is so that evidence can be protected, that defendants do not destroy evidence and or flee the country or try to get out of being arrested. So they seal these indictments so the people that they're trying to bring in don't know that they're the ones that are being arrested. And they don't open the indictments until the arrests happen and they're brought to their first court date. Then we will see these opening up. This pool started with 12 indictments. If you remember a couple weeks ago, that was like big news.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it grew to like 30, then 60, and then 300, and then 500. I mean, by yesterday, we were at 1,183 sealed indictments throughout the country in major districts in the country. You know, New York, in D.C., in California, L.A. I mean, it was quite an unprecedented thing to see. And I have been reading a lot of articles about sealed indictments, and they are not common on the scale that they are being presented like this in such right. a speedy fashion mm-hmm. Over a very short period of time. I mean, 6 indictments in 1 month is a lot. Sealed indictments in 1 month is a lot, you know, in the opinion of some lawyers and judges. So this is definitely a very, very interesting thing that's happening. And a lot of us are wondering, is this it? Is this the network going down? Is this, the satanic Luciferian cabal finally being taken out to the cleaners and held to justice for their crimes? It seems more like that to me mm-hmm. because it's all over the country. Right. I mean, if this was like, Russian collusion, you'd see it centered around D.C. or, you know, the Clintons or, mm-hmm. you know, the Trump administration in New York. I wouldn't expect it to be all over the country in all these different districts, including 1,100 people.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think yes. the collusion has gone that far. I hope not. But it just seemed to be like it was Fusion GPS, Clinton's and Trump campaign kind of getting all that with the Uranium One involved and all those things. So it could be that. But I have my suspicions because of the major arrests in Saudi Arabia over the last week. You have a princess coming forward admitting that there's child sex trafficking going on in royalty throughout their family. And this is normal for them. Child sex trafficking is normal trade for them. Then you have these 11 princes and dignitaries arrested, mm-hmm. thrown under the bus by their own brother, their own comrade.
Yeah.
And I feel like people they feel like the dominoes are falling, mm-hmm. the cards are falling. And they want to get out alive. So you're going to start seeing people throwing others under the bus. And I guarantee you that's what's happening. I guarantee you that's why there's 1,100 indictments that are sealed right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you completely. I think that's what we're seeing happening is folks are giving the information up. They're trying now.
Oh, yeah.
It's in self-survival mode mm-hmm. and trying to strike deals and bargains to keep themselves out of prison long term. Personally, I'm praying that God is about to unleash his ranger troop of law enforcement upon these evil, wicked people. And I don't say that blinking or flinching at all. I think it's way past time for Christians to start standing up and speaking the truth about evil and evildoers. Stop making excuses for the things that are going on in our culture and start calling things what they are and asking, pleading, begging God to intervene and to get these people arrested and the due and proper punishment that they deserve. I think every Christian should think like that. Now, there may be some that think, well, that's a little harsh. And I would say to them, then that's the problem with much of Christianity in America today. We don't have a spine. We've lost our voice. We want to be left alone. And that is exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. You cannot be salt and light to a culture by desiring to be left alone and having your mouth shut in the face of evil. We need to stand up and speak out.
Absolutely. I mean, Jesus wasn't just hanging out in caves talking to people. He was flipping tables out in the market square.
That's right.
Okay. And he, you know, he also suggested that we take up our swords and put on the armor of God and and do our thing. This is the radical Jesus that I love and that I follow in his way.
Amen.
Is speaking up for children, speaking up for suffering, ending suffering, ending suffering for all people on this planet. And I'll tell you, you know, it is very, it takes a lot of strength for me to forgive these people, but I do not sit here and hope that people are dying or getting, you know, I don't really tend to like when people are saying they want these people hanging in the street. That is definitely not where my heart is at. I feel very much, my heart bleeds for people that are lost.
Yeah.
I feel so much pity for them. I even reading some of the comments on John Podesta's Twitter page one day, I lost it. I was crying and crying because look what you did, you know, and look what is happening. How could you have gotten so lost so far?
Exactly.
And God feels that way too about his children. God cries for his children that are lost, and will help those that want to seek justice do just that. So I would have faith and pray that this keeps having momentum. This is awesome. I mean, I love that me and you were able to talk today because this is the kind of momentum that God loves.
Yes,
you know?
Amen. There's a tremendous shaking going on right now in the heavenlies. You can feel it. You can just sense that things are getting shaken up. There's an unraveling going on. The evil elitists and the Luciferians that have had their way for so very long, they are really in a panic right now because I believe that God is answering the prayers of his people. And I know that you sense that same thing, Melissa.
Absolutely.
I know you've got a project going on. You've done a new video. Is that correct?
Actually, I have a few things going on. My newest video was kind of going into the Comet Ping Pong, the hacker, and the gentleman that's investigating or maybe not investigating. They always keep us in the dark on what's going on that front of the Pizzagate investigation. You know, there's some new evidence. We're keeping that alive. On the other end, me and my research partners, Anthony Cadorniga and Heather Middendorf, we are creating a documentary in which we're traveling all around the country and we're meeting with families that have had their children taken away. Mm. We're meeting with families that have not seen their kids in years because CPS had taken them or a spouse has taken them. And there was, you know, in a lot of these cases, sexual abuse, traumatization, physical abuse, and a total corruption within the local communities that they live in, working with CPS, working with the police department and child protective services. And, you know, we're really looking to Nancy Schaefer, God rest her soul, who kind of left off, her and her husband, were killed. They say it's a murder suicide, but really, we think that they were offed for the work that they were doing. She was a senator. That was looking into just this, into CPS corruption. She had all the paperwork. She had the numbers. She was all over the media talking about this. And unfortunately, before her book came out and the documentary came out, she was killed. So we're trying to like pick up where she left off, but also including because this is a different time right now with all of the blatant sexual abuse of children on like a satanic level.
Yes.
So we're bringing that in. A lot of the ways that these pedophiles use codes and signals and things like that. We're also interviewing all of the investigators and all of the journalists and YouTubers that we are in this network with. We want everybody to be in this documentary. So it's going to be a really big project. Mm-hmm. We want everything. We want it to be a nice, way for people to wrap their heads around the information so that it's undeniable to them. And there's real people, real faces, and real situations that they can really put their hearts to and understand. So that's like the biggest thing that we've been working on. And that's mainly why I haven't made too many videos over the last couple months, because we've been really doing a lot of research for this documentary and traveling and talking to these families and filming them. And figuring out how to best present their stories to the public.
Yeah. Well, how can people reach out to you if they've got a story that they would like to tell? How can they get that information to you? What's the best way?
Sure. So I do apologize. There are a lot of people that write to me every single day, and I do try to read every single one. I do not respond to everybody, and I'm sure you can understand, Mike, that once people trust you, yes, you get a lot more people that want to communicate. So yeah, the best ways to communicate with me, because I use it a lot, is Twitter. And I know it seems kind of silly that that's where I am most of the time, but it's easier for me to communicate, to yes, email, and disseminate important information at the same time. Mm-hmm. I can't do that on YouTube, and I can't do that on my email. So Twitter has been the best way for me to do all three or four things at once. And I can keep track of on information that's coming in up to the minute. So Twitter is a really good place to start.
Yeah. And your handle?
I always respond. Yep. My handle is @thehoneybee_.
There you go. At.
So find me there and tell me your story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And folks can support you. How can they support this work? Maybe someone wants to help because, you know, traveling around all over the country and doing all these things, that's expensive. So how might someone help you financially?
Yeah, thank you. And it is expensive. I mean, I've probably put in about $800 of my own money so far in the last month or two. But this is for me to be able to do my life's work. So, I'm down with donating to myself. That's fine. But if anybody is interested, we do have a fundraising page for our documentary. And this helps me and Anthony and Heather rent really professional equipment to film and also to stay at different hotels and to fly or drive and feed ourselves while we're doing this work. So I can actually send you, it is a YouCaring page. Mm, okay. If you'd like, I can send you the link and you can put it on your description.
Sure, yeah. Post it in the show notes.
You can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also have a Patreon if you want to, you know, go low key and support my work, you know, donate a buck or two, that's fine. But honestly, I don't really ask people to donate. So, you know, if you're inspired to do so, I'm so grateful. But what's priceless to me is that you share the information. That is the absolute utmost important thing to me, is that people are sharing the information and getting the word out. Yes. And doing their own research. That is like number one for me. That is worth $1 billion to me.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
yeah. Anything else on your radar you wanted to touch on?
I think people should really start keeping their eyes open for these indictments. I mean, I am very excited about what this might mean. But I want to caution people, don't feel let down if it isn't that. I know a lot of people were excited about the big announcement from Donald Trump yesterday. It ended up just being better relations with Asia and a lot of trade stuff.
Yeah.
But that's the momentum. I mean, you can feel it. You know, you're hoping that he's going to drain the swamp at that very moment for you.
Yes.
Sometimes these things don't come to fruition the way in which you think they will. So just be patient. If these indictments don't end up being what you think they are, don't back down. Don't back down. Keep your heart in the right place.
Yes.
And keep praying.
Yeah. Amen. You know what? That's a great segue, Melissa. I think what we'll do is we'll just close our conversation today in prayer. How would that be?
I like that.
Okay. Father, we bow our heads and our hearts before you. You are worthy of our worship, worthy, Lord, of our obedience, worthy of our loyalty, of our praise. Lord, thank you so much for raising up warriors in your kingdom, such as Melissa. I pray, Father, your favor to be upon her. I pray your protection to be upon her. I pray that you would guard her mind, that you guard her thinking, you would guard her physically from the many, many evil intentions that are aimed at people like her. Father, I pray that you would encourage all of your children to gain a voice and speak out, not just against this evil, but against evil in general. Certainly, this is one of the worst evils that we can imagine, this kind of behavior toward the most innocent among us. So we pray, Father, that these indictments, they would at least in some way address the many, many pedophiles. Lord, just deliver them, Father. Thank you for that. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you for what you're going to do, and we ask it in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Melissa?
Amen. God bless. Mike, Pastor Mike Spaulding, you fire me up, my friend. I love listening to your prayer. Thank
amen.
You for that.
Well, thank you for joining me, and maybe we'll circle back in a few more weeks and get an update and see what's going on and how you're doing, how the documentary's going.
Awesome. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless. Take care.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek Him.